Well, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we kicked off a brand new series we're calling Ordinary People. And we're looking at just this reality that all of us have a part to play, that God uses ordinary people to accomplish his extraordinary purposes. When you look across the pages of Scripture, certainly there are some main figures that you see. Of course, all of it is centered around the work of Christ. I mean, he's the hero of the Scriptures, but you see other people in the Scriptures that are very prominent. But I think what's cool is you also see a ton of people in the Scriptures who they don't seem to have any power or privilege or position, and yet God uses them in such extraordinary ways. And just by playing their part and by being available and saying, God, use me, they get to be a part of God's extraordinary story of redemption and the work that he's doing in building his kingdom. And the same is true for you and me. And that's what we're walking through in this series, is that we are servants, our core value of personal ministry, that God wants us to use our time, our talents, and our treasure for his kingdom. He wants to use us for the sake of his kingdom. And specifically on Sunday, we were looking at Nehemiah chapter 3, where what happens is, this is in the mid-400s BC, about 100, almost 150 years after Jerusalem has been destroyed by the Babylonians, and the exile that took place, where most people were taken out of Judah and Jerusalem and moved to Babylon. Well, eventually Babylon falls to the Persians, and the people of Israel get to come back and they rebuild the temple. And then during Nehemiah's day, 150 years later almost, the king of Persia is moved by the Lord. Nehemiah asks him, he says, I want to go back and help rebuild the city wall of Jerusalem. You know, in that day, the cities would have a wall around it as a form of protection. And the city wall of Jerusalem is lying in ruins. And Nehemiah hears this and he's burdened. He says, God, I want to do something about that. And so he goes to the king of Persia, who earlier had stopped the work of rebuilding in Jerusalem. And he says, he's scared because the king says, what's wrong? And he's like, okay, here it goes. God, give me favor. And he asks him, oh Lord, my king, will you, my city, the city of my fathers and my father's fathers, it lies in ruins. The wall lies in ruins. And I want to go back and do something about it. And the king of Persia not only tells him yes, but sends supplies with him. Nehemiah asks for supplies and the king of Persia gives him permission. It tells him he can go and to take the things that he needs. And so, there are a lot of, mini lessons out of the story. I mean, you see things like the mission unifying the people, right? People from all different walks of life jump in and do their part to help rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. You've got people who are high on the social totem pole, people who are low on the social totem pole, people from all over the city just working on different sections of the wall. I mean, it really is sort of that many hands make light work. They see the big picture, I think, of the vision behind the work of, hey, we're not just building this structure. We're really doing something that is working for the flourishing of our people. We talked about, our facilities here on a Sunday morning. We're so grateful for these facilities, but the facilities, they don't disciple people. The facilities just facilitate the mission. And so when we are working towards, expanding a facility or purchasing a new facility, we recognize really what's behind that is we're trying to reach a city and make disciples, and the facilities can just facilitate the mission. But at the end, we just sort of landed on, how does Nehemiah 3 kind of point us to the gospel? And we see it is really a story of God's incredible faithfulness. 150 years before, God brought the Babylonians in to really, as a punishment against his people for their continued disobedience. And it seemed, it was a national disaster. The temple is destroyed. The city is destroyed. The people exiled. I mean, it would have been so easy to think, okay, God has completely abandoned us. And yet, 70 years later, the people get to come back. And they rebuild the temple. And the temple worship is reinstituted. And there's hope again. And then here we are 150 years later. I ask our folks on Sunday, do you remember, what happened in our country in 1872? Me neither, right? I don't know what was, and I'm a history major. I don't know what was going on back then. God just doesn't forget. his promises. It's 150 years later, and here God is moving on the heart of the king of Persia to send Nehemiah back to begin this great work that will ultimately lead to the greater flourishing of his people. But then more than 400 years later, God would send his own son. And Jesus would come not to rebuild a structure, but to go to the cross for you and for me, to live a perfect life in our place and to die in our place on the cross, to save us and then be raised again on the third day that we might have new life in him. And it's the fulfillment of all the promises of Scripture because God is incredibly faithful. Let me pray for you, and then I want to encourage you to take some time to pray for yourself. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great faithfulness. We thank you that while 150 years may seem like a long time to us, it is not to you. And you are faithful, and you do not forget your people, and you do not forget your promises. And you proved that to us, Lord. You proved and demonstrate your love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You so loved us that you gave your only son. And all the promises of Scripture find their yes and amen in him. And so we thank you, Lord, and we praise you for your great faithfulness. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Take some time now to pray for yourself.